Hi, I'm Nancy Lotrich Anderson.
And I'm Ryder Taff.
We're financial advisors for New Perspectives Incorporated, an independent fee-only financial management company.
And this is Money Notes, 15 minutes of financial tips and conversations about money to help you save more, invest smarter, and live better financially.
So plug in your earbuds and get your notepad ready. It's Money Notes.
Hi, this is Nancy Lotrich Anderson, and I'm here with Amy Tolliver. Amy is our newest addition at New Perspectives. And Amy, what's your role here?
I am, well, my technical title is Operations and Compliance, but basically I do a little bit of everything and keep things moving.
And we're glad to have Amy with us. So we're going to talk about some of the things that keep us from saving and investing. What we're hearing lately is that most people out there, if they had a $400 emergency, could not even cover $400. Isn't that shocking?
I mean, I've had that in my life. I mean, yeah. I spent probably longer than most people in college and grad school, and I know those moments. So.
Well, if you're in school, you would understand that. But even folks who are much older and settled are having trouble covering the basic things. And we also know from research that the average 401k for somebody in their 50s is only $150,000. Now, $150,000 for a college student sounds like a lot of money, but that's not enough to support retirement. So the question becomes, why aren't people saving and investing?
Could it have to do, I mean, maybe people are just changing jobs more, too. You don't hear about as many people.
Well,
that are...
and that is certainly the case. We know that most people, by the time they hit their 30s, have changed jobs three times. And but that still means we have to start saving for retirement. Pensions are gone. Most people don't even have a pension any longer. And so we can't depend on that. We're having to depend on our 401ks, but we are saving on our own. So, Amy, again, why aren't people saving? What are some of the excuses you hear?
Oh, I hear a lot. I've been guilty of a few myself, but maybe they live in the now.
Yeah, a lot of us do.
You would say, I don't have extra money to save.
Right.
I'm just paying for my kids' soccer. And it's,
yeah, and most people, what we know, it doesn't matter what you make, you are going to spend what you make. And so our trick in the financial business is to get people to carve out a little bit of that money before it gets to their pockets, because we know if it gets to the pockets, it's going to be gone. And we do this by encouraging people to put a little bit more in their 401ks, in their retirement plans. We also want to get them to save otherwise, and so we tell them to use a bank draft. So if you have a bank draft and the money automatically goes over into a savings account or an investment account before it hits your checking account where it just suddenly gets frittered away, that's really the magic. And to make it automatic, that forms a disciplined way of building some savings.
And our, you know, younger professionals are... younger working folks are changing jobs a lot more frequently.
Yeah.
So maybe something like that, a bank draft that goes to your savings account would be a good alternative, because then if you change jobs a million times, you could still keep that current. I've just had a lot of friends. We've had a client that I think we helped this week that had a small account from a job she'd had in college. I think you've been trying to help her get her hands on those funds.
And it's been hanging out there for a long time.
It was just fragmented. So something like what you're suggesting would be good for continuity of that account.
Yeah, let's start with just needing an emergency fund, because everybody has emergencies. You have big things that pop up. And if you have just some in savings, then you're not going to panic and you're not going to fall back on credit cards. Because if you fall back on credit cards, average interest rate on a credit card right now is 15%. I just saw one this week that was 30% on somebody with really good credit. I was shocked.
Oh my goodness.
And that is really a trap that you get into that you can't get out of. So a lot of people say, well, how do I do that? Again, use a bank draft. A lot of employers have credit unions that are attached to them and will allow you to take a certain amount of money out of every paycheck. That's a good way to go. Try to build up to at least $1,000. Okay, so maybe you can only put in $100 a month. that means within a year, you could have $1,000 set aside. And that $1,000 can really help you out in a pinch. You need new tires, you have a bigger medical expense, it's right there for you. Then once you get to be $1,000, then your goal should be to build to $5,000. And if I have somebody who's a bit older and someone older could have a bigger health event, I want them to have somewhere in the $10,000 to $20,000 range set aside in just a good savings account or a good money market account. It's not going to be earning a lot right now. If we're seeing something around 2%, you're doing well at that point. But you don't want to put that money at risk. You want that to be available to you at all times. Another thing we hear is that, when it comes to investing, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not good at math. Mm-hmm. I don't understand stocks or bonds. It's just over my head. And honestly, Amy, we're surprised at the people we have coming in who are really smart and really educated, but when it comes to investing, they have no clue. And of course, that's what gives us job security. So we're here to help. If you find, I really don't know what I'm doing, and I don't have an inclination to learn, then find an advisor. And we encourage people to look for a fee-only advisor. That's what we are. There's not somebody who's trying to sell a product to generate a commission. They're just going to charge you for their time, and you can learn for them and get help. In looking at your overall situation and some guidance even in your company retirement plan as far as which funds you want to use. So that's a good option if you don't know what you're doing. But I always say to people, look, if you can read, you can invest. And I encourage people to go down the library, go down to the local bookstore, and find some books. I love some of the old John Bogle books. They are not in print any longer, but you can find them. Bogle was the man who was at the helm of the Vanguard Group, a famous investing group, and he has since passed away. He was the father of the index mutual fund. So he's a good one to start with on some of those topics that you'd like to know about. What about just, you know, spending for frivolous things?
I think that that's probably something we do without realizing it. Like maybe we see this a lot. How many people I know that had a car note that was close to the same amount as their mortgage?
Yeah.
This is an old saying I heard from a friend once, that a Cadillac is nice, but a Chevy will get you there.
Yeah.
So sometimes we buy that Cadillac when we could have made it with a Chevy. So those are things that you might not think are so much frivolous. Oh, we all need a car, but do we need that car?
Or people are just house poor. They're spending so much on a big house to say, look at me and look at where I live. And that's the same with a car. And then they're sacrificing saving for their future, which is a really dangerous place to be in.
Another thing that I think it's easy maybe to drum up things that are frivolous we spend on, but I am a fairly new mom. I have she just turned four, a four-year-old. And so that's changed my thoughts on spending, certainly on saving and providing for her. But, you know, as the older she gets and the more activity she is involved in and the bills keep coming, and you want to put them in every dance class and gymnastics class and give them everything that they want. And, you know, I'm not going to do her any favors by that. So if I skimp on saving for myself, I could be a burden on her one day trying to let... I guess you would call it living in the now.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to teach her and to model good saving and investing for her so she learns that along the way.
So my point with that, to tie it into what we were actually discussing, was that not everything may look as, it might not be so easy to categorize as frivolous. Like, okay, well, you know, no, I don't drive that brand new SUV, but you turn around and look at what you're spending on your kids, whether it's their clothes or whatever. That could kind of fall into that category, and if you're skimping on savings.
Yeah, I always say we all have our crazy, and it's that thing that we just automatically spend on without thinking about it, and we need to figure out what that crazy is and try to rein that in. And for most of us, if we can rein that in, we can really start to learn how to save. Well, in some cases, what I'm hearing is... in a couple, we usually have one person who handles the investments and one person who handles the day-to-day. And often I'll hear, especially from young women, well, I don't really know where everything is, and my husband takes care of that. And I'm just like, each of you needs to know, even though there may be some division of labor there, everybody needs to know what's going on and where everything is, because you never know. And every marriage does end, whether it's by death or divorce. So you need to be aware of what's going on.
That way.
Yeah, it's true. And be able to find things and put your hands on things. So there are all kinds of things that keep us from saving. Again, living in the now, we haven't learned to delay that gratification.
I think of it as, I say, Scarlet Syndrome. Do you know, is that a common term, or is that just one?
That, oh, I know that
you
one.
You know, I mean, just, I mean, for me, I you think, well, I'll fool with that when I get old. I'm getting settled now. I'm getting my career started. I'm starting my family. I'll worry about retirement when I get old. And then you wake up and somebody's throwing you a 40th. And you go, hey, old is around the corner.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's...
And the longer you delay, the harder it is to play catch up on those things. Mm. So that's very important to get started and get started soon. I usually tell, often would tell my students, as soon as you get that first job and you sign up for that 401k, at least contribute 10% into your retirement account. And if you start it with that first job and then, you know, a few years later, you're married, you got a couple of kids and you need to back up, that 10% is still sitting there growing for you. And that's the advantage of getting started early. Again, if it's an employer plan where there's a match, you at least want to match what they're doing, but that's not the most you can do. And you need to strive to start at 10% and try to increase 1% a year. You won't even notice it out of your paycheck. You'll adjust to it because we spend what we make.
That's really good.
Also, if you're getting a raise, if you get a 2% raise, increase your 401k contribution by 1%, leave 1% in your pocket so you feel like you've got more money and you're also saving more along the way. And don't neglect that emergency account, that good savings or money market. At least $1,000, work your way up to $5,000 and then $10,000, and you're going to sleep better at night. You're going to know that whatever happens, I can cover it, and it's going to keep you out of the credit card trap. So find a way to do it.
I love what you're talking about with this kind of the gradual approach to the emergency fund, because I know years ago, I guess I'll leave his name out of the equation, but there was a popular financial advisor on the radio that, you know, it really preached about this $5,000 emergency fund. And that amount seemed so unattainable to so many people that it was like, oh, forget it, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, who could, I mean, an extra $100.
Yeah, that's all you need to do.
You know? So you can build your way up, $500.
Which means just get started and get started now. Get started today. Do something. Save just enough so it pinches a little bit, and I promise you will adjust. And it's really great fun to see those accounts growing and knowing that you're going to be secure whatever happens.
I agree.
And finally, get help if you need it. Find a fee-only advisor out there and get them to give you some guidance. Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
I'm Nancy Lautridge Anderson.
And I'm Ryder Taff, and this was Money Notes.
Find us at newper.com, N-E-W-P as in Paul, E-R.com.
Call us at 888-831-3158.
And join us next time for Money Notes.
New Perspectives, Inc. is a registered investment advisor registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In no event shall anything said here be interpreted or construed as a solicitation to effect securities transactions or provide personal investment advice. A copy of New Perspectives, Inc.'s written disclosure statement is available upon request.